Mr. Walter Houston stars in Sinclair Lewis's Babbitt from Studio One, CBS.
People don't think I fit in completely, eh? Well, I'll show them who's an old fogey. I can out-drink and out-dance and out-yell any of them. And I'll do it, too. Yes, sir.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great stories, novels, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
If you're waking up despondent these days, if you feel that somehow you've been neglected, if to you all the world is sad and dreary, then just be grateful that you've not appeared as a character in a story by Sinclair Lewis. Once your portrait has been drawn by Mr. Lewis, the kidding is over and the sham is done with. If you're Carol Kennicott or Elmer Gantry or Sam Dodsworth, or more particularly in view of what's ahead of us in the next hour, if you're George Babbitt, then beware, for you haven't an allusion to your name. Our principal character tonight happens to be called George Babbitt, and he was a real estate broker nearly 30 years ago in the town of Zenith, USA. But let's face it, his name is Legion, and his business is everywhere. And tonight, we're not only fortunate in being able to bring you another story by one of America's greatest novelists, we're also blessed with another performance by one of America's greatest actors, the irreplaceable Mr. Walter Houston. With Mr. Houston, you'll be hearing Hester Sondergaard as Myra Babbitt, Mercedes McCambridge as Tanis, Grace Coppin as Zilla, and among their fellow citizens of Zenith, Everett Sloan, Robert Dryden, and Frank Behrens. Herewith, a portrait as large as life and twice as frightening. Please to begin.
Instead of sticking to Lilidol toothpaste like I repeatedly asked her, she's gone and gotten some of that confounded stinkum stuff that makes you sick.
Oh, Georgie, you didn't go and use the guest towel,
well,
did
yes,
you?
Well, yes, by golly. Everybody gets in the bathroom first and all the towels are sopping wet and no one ever puts out a dry one for me. I'm just the man that keeps this household going. I'm just...
Oh, dear, the strap on my petticoat's broken. They certainly don't sew these straps on well at all.
Hmm. What do you think, Myra? Shall I wear the brown suit another day?
Well, looks nice on you. Mm-hmm. Georgie, you haven't forgotten about our dinner party tonight.
Certainly not. What do you think I am?
Well, you have to be home early. And don't forget to call at Becky's for the ice cream.
You told me 10 times already.
Well, I don't want you to forget.
All right.
You have to buy the flowers and fix them and order the salted almonds and... Well, I simply must depend on you to go to Becky's for the ice cream.
All right, gosh, I'm going to get it.
And, Georgie, I wish you'd speak to Ted. He failed his Latin exam again.
Well, what can you expect when you mollycoddle him and let him go to the movies with Eunice Littlefield instead of studying?
George Babbitt, whenever the children do anything right, the credit goes to you. But when they do something wrong...
Come on, let's go down to breakfast. Got a lot to do today, got to hustle. Morning, Littlefield.
How's the head of the Babbitt Realty Company?
Great. Fine morning.
Yes, it's a mighty fine morning.
Spring coming along fast now. I don't anticipate we'll have any more real cold weather.
No. Still, there was snow at Tiflis, Montana yesterday. You remember the blizzard they had out west 3 days ago? And 2 years ago, we had a snow squall right here in Zenith on the 25th of April.
Is that a fact? Well, I can see how you manage that PhD the way you remember things. Say, who do you think the Republicans will nominate for president? Don't you think it's about time we had a real business administration? This is 1920, you know.
In my opinion, George, What the country needs, first and foremost, is a good, sound, business-like conduct of its affairs. What we need is a business administration.
Well, now, I'm glad to hear you say that. I didn't know you'd feel that way about it with all your college associations and so on. Certainly glad to know a doctor of philosophy sees it that way.
That's it.
Well, nice to stop in the parlor view a second. Well, see you tonight at our house. Guess we'll have to get out of the office now and sting a few clients. Morning, Miss Magoon.
Morning, Miss Babbitt.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot to do this morning, Magoon. Got to hustle.
Yes, Mr. Babbitt.
Come right into my office.
Yes, Mr. Babbitt.
Let's see. Where'd I put that pad? Here.
You said I should remind you that tomorrow night's your Elks meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And the chairman of the Boosters Club wants you to call him this morning.
Yes. We, the Boosters, have big plans, Magoon. Gonna make Zenith the Zip City. Zip with Zenith.
Do you want to dictate?
Oh, yeah. A form letter. Mm-hmm. I want it mimeographed and sent to 1,000 or so prospects. Yes, I wrote out the first draft on a pad last night. Now, let's see. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Say, old man, just want to know, can I do you a whale of a favor? No kidding. I know you're interested in getting a house. Not merely a place to hang up the old bonnet, but a nice wood nest for the wife and kiddies.
Wife and kiddies.
And maybe for the flivver, the aunt. And be sure and spell that B-E-Y-A-N-T, Miss Magoon.
Mm-hmm.
Out the aunt, the spud garden. Well, say, we're here to save you the trouble. Sit down and shoot us a line telling us what you want. Darn it, I'll get it. Hello, Babbitt Reilly.
Georgie, you won't forget the ice cream at Vecchia's.
No, of course not. Is that all you wanted?
That's all.
Bye. Let's see, where was I?
Shoot us a line.
Oh, yeah. If we can find it, we'll come hopping down your lane with the good tidings. To save your time, just fill out the blank enclosed. Yours for service, George F., etc. Well, Magoon, what do you think?
Think?
About the letter.
Oh.
Wouldn't you say it was a real sales puller? Got that heart-to-heart quality in it? Don't you think it has?
Mm, now that you mention it, sure. By the way, Mr. Risling called you.
Did I? Good old Polybus. Is he going to keep that lunch date with me?
Said meet you at the Zenith Athletic Club.
Fine. Always give me a good feeling to see old Paul. Best friend in the world. Has been ever since we roomed together.
At State University, yes, sir. I'd better get to this letter, Mr. Babbitt.
Yeah. Got to hustle that letter. Well, Bird's Brunch. How's the boy?
Hello, Georgie. How's the boy?
Oh, great, fine.
Going to join us at the Roughnecks table today?
No, not today. Meeting Paul.
Oh, you're going high hat, huh? Too proud to sit with the poor folks.
That's right, old fella. Here comes Paul. See you at the house tonight.
Yeah, I'll be there with bells on.
Hey. Well, how's the old horse thief, eh, Paul?
Oh, I'm first rate, you second-hand hunk of cheese.
You're a fine guy. 10 minutes late.
Well, you're lucky to have a chance to lunch with a gentleman.
Come on, let's feed the faces. Ate too much, you always do. Shouldn't have such heavy lunches.
Oh, same here.
What are you worrying about, your old toothpick? You haven't put on a pound since I've known you. Well, how's things in the tar roofing business?
Oh, coming along.
I wound up a nice little deal with Conrad Lighty this morning that put 500 round plunks in my pocket. Pretty nice. And yet, I don't know what's the matter with me today. Maybe it's an attack of spring fever, or just the winter's work piling up. But I felt kind of down in the mouth all day. Of course, I wouldn't beef about to the fellas at the Roughneck table, but, it's different with you. You ever get in that mood, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of comes over me, you know. Well, here I've done pretty much all the things I'm supposed to do. Got a family and a good house, 6-cylinder car, build up a nice little business, belong to the church, play enough golf to keep me in trim, only associate with good, decent fellows, and yet, well, even so, I don't know that I'm entirely satisfied.
Good Lord, George, you don't suppose it's any novelty to me to find that we hustlers that think we're so all-fired successful aren't getting much out of it? You know what my own life's been?
Yeah, I know, old man.
I ought to have been a fiddler, and I'm a peddler of tar roofing. And Zilla? Well, I don't mean to squawk, but you know as well as I do about how inspiring a wife she is. How she nags, nags, nags.
Have you ever thought about divorcing Zilla?
Have I? If only I could. You couldn't hire her to divorce me or desert me. She's too fond of her three squares and a few pounds of nut-scented chocolates in between. If only she... Oh, gosh, you've had to stand a lot of whining from me first and last, George.
Ah, rats. Now, Paul, you've never really what you call whined.
Oh, yes.
Maybe, sometimes maybe, but... Well, I'm always blown to Myra and the kids about what a whale of a reeler I am, and yet sometimes I get sneaking... Well, a kind of a sneaking idea that I'm not such a Pierpont Morgan as I let on to be. Fellas like Charlie McKelvey, you know, they're the ones that really made the grade. Same class with us, Paul. And now he's a millionaire. Always gets his name in the social register.
What's that mean?
Oh, nothing, really. But like I said, I blow a lot, but... Oh, I don't... Down deep inside, I get kind of disgusted with myself. But if I ever do help by jolly you along, old Polsky, I guess maybe St. Pete will let me in after all.
Yeah. You're an old blowhard, Georgie. A cheerful cutthroat, but you've certainly kept me going.
Ah, well...
Yeah, well, guess we better get back to the grind, eh?
Yeah, I got a house this afternoon. Got to get down to the office. We're having a dinner party tonight.
Oh, yeah, you told me. Littlefields, Gunch, Chum Frink.
Yeah, yeah, we'll... I have to pick up a bottle of fire water down at Healy Hansen's. You think I'll have any trouble? I always feel kind of funny, you know, doing business with a speakeasy.
Well, you'll have to pay.
Oh, sure. Jake Offutt said come to about 7 simoleons. But, I want to give the boys a real shot in the arm tonight. Yeah, that was a good idea to park the car a few blocks away from the speakeasy. Don't think I'll run into anybody down here in this part of town. Uh-oh. That policeman's looking kind of funny at me. Afternoon. Nice day. He wasn't even looking at me. Well, here it is. Ah, rats. If anybody does see me, they'll think I'm here on real estate business.
George, did you get the ice cream?
Oh, golly.
You'll go right back to Vecchia's.
Myra, where's the,
Georgie, I do wish you'd get out of the kitchen. You're under our feet.
But gosh, that's gratitude for you. Here I go and I pay $10 for a buck in and then, well, I've got to mix the cocktails, don't I?
All right, Georgie, but do you need all those spoons?
Yeah, sure needs a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, Myra, giving a dinner party is a very serious business.
Yes.
Well, you don't sound like you mean it.
Dinner parties here at Floral Heights aren't really big things, and you know it, Georgie. It's when people like the McKelveys and the Dodsworths entertain them.
Oh, you're still thinking about that silly article in the society column yesterday. Well, let me tell you, we're having just as impressive a guest list as the McKelveys ever did. Virgil Grunch, president of the Zenith Athletic Club, and Howard Littlefield, doctor of philosophy, knows all about everything, just this morning.
Oh, George.
And teacher Monley Frink. Do you realize that his poemulation is syndicated daily in 67 leading newspapers? And we have him come to our house and call him Chum?
Yes, I know Chum's a very famous person.
Well, then. Now, by golly, if that isn't a pretty good fine old cocktail. Yeah, kind of a Bronx, and yet it's pretty much like a Manhattan. Yeah, I guess I'll have to try me a glass bowl.
Nice.
Yes, isn't it?
Just as nice as can be.
It's such a lovely centerpiece, Myra.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I've always wanted a lace cloth like that.
Well, folks, Do you you think you could stand breaking the law a little? Hey, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you, George. I'm a law-abiding man, but they do say Verge Gunch is a regular yay. And, of course, he's bigger than I am. I just can't figure out what I do if he tried to force me into anything criminal. I'll take a chance. So, if Verge and you insist, Georgie, I'll park my car on the wrong side of the street. Because I take it for granted that's the crime you're hinting at.
You were so innocent.
How'd you guess it, Jim? Well, right over here at the sideboard in the dining room are the keys to your cars. Yeah, step over here and get them.
Let's all go into the living room.
Oh, gosh, have a look.
This gets me right where I live.
Let me at it.
Hold your glasses, boys, and I'll pour it in.
Sure, you're not pulling a fast one, Georgie. You sure this isn't just fruit with a little neutral spirit?
Hey, wouldn't that be a raw trick? You be the first taster, chum.
That I will. Ah, man, it ain't true, but don't waken me. Just let me slumber.
Come on, let me fill those glasses.
Oh, it was a nice party, wasn't it?
Now, you bet.
Of course, it won't make the social columns.
Ah, don't mean a thing.
Yeah. Wasn't the dinner good?
Yeah, delicious. Best chicken I've tasted since Heck was a pup.
Well, George, you don't sound as if you really enjoyed it.
Oh, sure I did. Of course I did.
Well, George, what is it?
Oh, I'm kind of tired, I guess. I've been pounding hard at the office. I need to get away for and rest up a little.
Well, we're going to Maine in just a few weeks now with Paul Zilla.
Yeah. Myra, I think it'd be a good thing for me to get up there early. Get in a little fishing. Catch me a big trout, by golly.
Well, why don't we do it? Verona and Matilda can run the house between them.
Well, I've been feeling so jumpy lately. I thought maybe it might be a good thing if I could get off by myself and, well, you know, sweat it out of me.
George, don't you want me to go along?
Oh, of course I do. Well, sometimes it's good for an old grub like me to go off and...
Do I bother you when we go on vacations? Don't I add anything to your fun?
Yeah. But can't you understand? I'm shot to pieces, Myra. Besides, I was thinking of Paul, too.
Paul?
Yeah, you know how Zilla nags him all the time. It'd be good for him away, and I went along.
Well, of course, it would do Paul good. Oh, how thoughtful of you, Georgie. We'll go and see Paul and Zilla tomorrow night and fix it up. Now, upstairs with you and pop into bed. I'll see to the doors. I hope we can convince Zilla you and Paul should get away.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Georgie.
Hello, Polybus. How's the kid?
Glad to see you. Hello, Myra.
Hello, Paul.
Come on in.
Well, Zilla, how's the girl? You're looking fit as a fiddle.
Stop trying to kid me, George. I know I look just as frazzled as I feel. Hello, Myra.
Hello, Zilla, dear.
Oh, please excuse the way the place looks. I've been too tired to get at the dishes. And of course, Paul never offers.
Here. Sit down, folks. Wait, Myra. I'll clear that chair off for you. Zilla. Shall I put this dress in the laundry?
Nah, throw it in the closet. I can wear it again.
Really nice weather we've been having these days, don't you think?
Don't get warm till June. Say, I'm glad you stopped by. Let's get peppy. Get out your fiddle, Paul, and I'll try to make Georgie dance decently.
Oh, no, not just yet, Zilla. I had too big a dinner.
Oh, you're just as much a deadbeat as Paul.
The boys work awfully hard, Zilla, and when they get home at night...
Sure, I know. Never want to go out. Why, last night, just because the car was out of order, Paul didn't want to take me to the movie.
Oh, cut it, Sil.
Well, if people knew how many things I let go.
Oh, quit being such a bully.
Yes, a fine figure you'd make if I didn't bully you. You'd lie abed till noon and play your idiotic fiddle till midnight. You're born lazy and you're born shiftless and you're born cowardly, Paul Risley.
Oh, no, don't say that, Zilla. You don't mean a word of it.
I will say that. I mean every word of it, every last word.
Oh, now, Zilla, the idea...
The idea of talking to poor Paul like that.
Poor Paul is right. We'd both be poor. We'd both be in the poorhouse if I didn't jazz him up.
Why, now, Zilla, Georgie and I were just saying how hard Paul's been working all year, just like Georgie has. And we were thinking it'd be lovely if the boys could run off by themselves. I've been coaxing George to go up to Maine ahead of the rest of us and get the tired out of his system before we come. And I thought maybe...
Oh, yes, you're lucky. You could let George go and not have to watch him. Fat old Georgie. Never peeps at another woman. Hasn't got the spunk.
The heck I haven't.
I suppose you mean to imply that I have a lot of sweethearts?
Yes, I do.
I've had enough of this darn nonsense.
Georgie!
I've known you for 25 years, Zill, and I never knew you to miss a chance to take your disappointments out on Paul. And let me tell you that Paul is the finest guy God ever made. You act like you were a combination of Queen Victoria and Cleopatra.
Why, Why, nobody ever talked to me like this in all my life.
No, but that's the way they talk behind your back. And they say you're a scolding old woman. Yes, old.
Why, they don't.
They certainly do.
Oh, I've been a bad woman. I'm so ashamed. Oh, I'll do anything. But what do you want?
I want you to let Paul to go off to Maine with me.
Well, you've just said nobody ever paid any attention to me. So why can I help his going?
Oh, yeah, you can help it. What you can do is to cut out the hinting that the minute he gets out of your sight, he'll go chasing after some petticoat.
Oh, I will. Honestly, I will, George. I know I was bad. Oh, forgive me. All of you, forgive me.
Kind of ashamed to bully Zilla, but of course it was the only way you could handle her. Gosh, I certainly did have her crawling.
Yes, you were dreadful. You were showing off. You were having a lovely time thinking what a great, fine person you were.
Well, by golly, can you beat it? Of course I might have you expected to stand up for me. I might have expected you to stick up for your own sex.
Yes, poor Zilla. She's so unhappy, she takes it out on Paul. She hasn't a single thing to do in that little flat. She used to be so pretty and gay, and she resents losing it. And you were just as nasty and mean as you could be. I'm going upstairs. Don't forget to lock the window.
All right, I will. Anyway, I pulled it off. We're going to have our spree. We'll get back and I'll feel like a different person. Yes, sir, Myra. I feel like a different person after that month in Maine.
Oh, I'm so glad, Georgie. You certainly look better. Got your color back. I hope it helped Paul, too.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure. Only thing wrong with Paul is Zilla. She's just the same as ever.
Well, maybe things will straighten out with him.
I hope so. But I sure feel there's going to be a big year for me.
Well, how, Georgie?
Oh, how? Gosh, got the old pet back. Going out and really sell real estate. Now that Ted's going to the university, I've got to make more dough. Being elected vice president of the Boosters Club makes me a pretty important man in Zenith. Not to mention that I'm getting a pretty good reputation as a speaker since I've been doing a little orating at the realty board meetings.
Georgie, do you really think you are becoming more of an important person?
Well, golly, what have I just been saying?
Well, it isn't that I don't completely enjoy the outing, golf, and country club. And I know how much you get out of the Zenith Athletic with all your friends, but...
But what?
But they really aren't what you might call as select, as the Tonawanda Country Club and the Union Club.
Well, I'd lots rather have lunch with the live wires who belong to the Athletic. Mm. Well, I wouldn't join the Union if they... I know those fellas, people like Charlie McKelvey and Horace Updike, no different from me. Why, went to school with Charlie.
Yes, I know. Were you good friends back in those days?
Why, sure, sure.
I suppose when a man makes as much money as Mr. McKelvey has, he just sort of naturally starts moving in a different social set.
Sir, are you implying I couldn't be good friends with old Charlie right now if I wanted to? Why, I just haven't bothered with him. Didn't think you were interested in those high rollers.
But, Georgie, do you really think if we asked the McKelveys for dinner some evening, if they'd accept?
Well, sure they would. Yeah, We'll ask him one of these days.
Well, I was thinking, since your class is having a reunion dinner at the Union Club tomorrow night, perhaps you could just mention to Mr. McKelvey that we'd like very much to have him over. Would you do that, Georgie?
Hey, Polybus, why stuck over here in the corner by yourself?
Hello, Georgie. Oh, I'm no good at this handshaking, and well, look who's here, Bunk.
Ah, rats now, Polybus. Loosen up and be a mixer. Finest bunch of boys on earth. Say, you seem kind of glum. What's the matter?
Oh, usual run-in with Zilla.
Ah, come on. Now we'll wade in and forget our troubles.
I'll join you at dinner, Georgie. You wade in by yourself.
Okay, fella. I just want to have a few words with some guys.
Yes, we're going to entertain Sir Gerald Doak for some days. You know, he's one of the biggest iron men in England, Max. Horribly well off. Why, hello, Georgie.
Well, Charlie McKelvey. Whoa, sock.
Hey, Max, George Babbitt's getting fatter than I am.
Glad to see you, Georgie.
Georgie, I read about your speeches in the paper. Bully work.
Well, thanks. I hear you're going to build some piers in Brooklyn.
Yes, of course, it's taking more of my time than I'd like to give it. Yeah, those government contracts mean a lot of dinners down in Washington. Of course, Lucille enjoys them.
How is Lucille?
Oh, splendid. They're busy, of course. How's your wife?
Oh, swell, yeah. Busy, though. Say, Charlie, remember in junior year at college how we chartered a seagoing hack and chased down to Riverdale to the big show that Madam Brown used to run?
Oh, I didn't have a care then.
Remember how you beat up that hick constable that tried to run us in, and we pinched the pants-pressing sign and took it and hung it in Professor Morrison's door? Oh, gosh, those were the days.
Yes, those were the days.
It's a shame. You know, it's a shame to drift apart because of business activities lie in different fields. Don't you think?
Yes, it's a shame, Georgie.
Like now. You know, I really enjoyed talking over the old days with you. You and Mrs. McKelvey must come to dinner some night.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you about the growth of real estate out beyond the Granville warehouse. Might be able to tip you off to a thing or two, possibly.
Splendid. Yes, we must have dinner together, Georgie, sometime.
Yeah, well, how about next Thursday?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Some of you folks would like another piece of chiffon pie, Mrs. McKelvey.
Oh, no, I couldn't possibly. But it was quite nice. Oh, thank you.
Well, have some salted almonds there.
No, thank you.
I suppose that's how you keep your youthful figure, isn't it? I mean, well, not that you aren't youthful, but I mean, well, let's adjourn into the living room.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You want to come in?
Mind if I take the seat of honor beside you on the couch here, Mrs. McKelvey?
No, certainly not.
Well, surely glad that you and Charlie were able to come over tonight.
Yes, well, we were very happy to come. I'm sorry we had to change the date so often, but we've been quite busy.
Oh, I understand. Didn't make a particular difference to us about changing the date. You see, we weren't putting on any dog for you.
Yes, I see that.
To be leaving so early, George. Lucille has another of her splitting headaches. She doesn't complain, but I know how much they pain.
Oh, sure, I understand. Say, maybe she'd like a couple of aspirin.
No, I think I better just get her home.
Well, good night. And thank you, Mrs. Babbitt. It was so nice.
Well, we certainly enjoyed having you.
Talking time, Georgie. We must lunch together sometime. Talk over college days.
Fine, I'd like to do that, Charlie.
Good, I'll give you a ring. Good night.
Well,
good night.
Good night.
Well, it was certainly a nice evening. Charlie said they wanted to have us up their house for dinner before long.
Yes, I heard him.
Oh, I sure hope he doesn't invite us to meet that Lord Dope guy. Darn, I'd rather just have a nice quiet evening with, with Charlie and the missus.
Oh, Georgie, stop it.
Why, Myra. Why, you're crying. What's the matter?
Oh, it's just nothing, George. I'm just tired, I guess.
word, you old windbag. Sit down and rest yourself with the luxury of the Babbitt Realty Company.
Well, I just stopped by for a second. How'd your dinner with the leaders of society go last
night? Oh, it was okay, but you know me, Burge. I don't give a hoot about all this society stuff. They asked us up there, but, well, I don't know whether we're going to accept. Seems when people salt a big wad away, they get kind of stuffy, you know?
Sure. Stop being regular fellas.
That's it. Give me the roughnecks anytime.
Say, did you hear about Willis Ijams?
Hear what?
Why, his firm's transferring him. Since he's president of the Boosters, you as VP will step in and take over.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry old Ijams is leaving us, but, well, you mean I'll be president?
Why, sure.
Well, say. Hello?
Georgie?
Yeah, Myra. Say, you gotta treat me kind of royal-like now. You're now addressing the new president of the Boosters Club.
George, listen.
Yes, sir. When little old Georgie takes up the gavel and whoops him
George,
up.
George! Paul Rice!
Yeah, sure. I'll phone Paul and let him know all about it. Right?
George! Listen! Paul's in jail.
Huh?
He shot his wife. He shot Zilla this noon.
Oh, no.
She may not live.
From Studio One, radio celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Mr. Walter Houston, starring in Babbitt, a version for listening by Agnes Eckhart of the Sinclair Lewis novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Mr. Walter Houston stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Babbitt by Sinclair Lewis.
This way.
All right.
Prisoner will be in here waiting for you by now, probably.
Thanks. I can go in.
I stay with you.
Oh. Hello, Pollock.
Paul.
Hello, George.
You can sit down.
Yeah? Bought some cigarettes, magazines and stuff, Paul.
How's Zilla,
fine,
George?
Fine, Paul, fine. Been out of the hospital a month now. Oh, no need to worry about Zilla. She was lucky.
I know.
I would have been to see her earlier, but they wouldn't let me.
I know all the penitentiary regulations, George.
Yeah, I guess you do it that. Well, how are you making out, kid?
Oh, I'm getting used to it.
What do you do?
With my time, I work in the tailor shop. Stuff hurts my fingers. Hmm.
Myra went east a few weeks ago. Her sister's sick. Guess she'll be gone some time.
That's too bad.
About her sister, yeah. But tell the truth, I'm just as glad Myra's gone. Couldn't say that to anybody but you. I don't know what's wrong with me. Seems like since you're away, Paul, nothing seems to mean much anymore.
Of you to give up your time for me, Mr. Babbitt.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure, Mrs. Judique.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, I can tell you. While my husband was alive, we always had a house, so I know nothing, really, about apartments.
Oh, I'll bet you got a smart little brain under that saucy hat.
I know the kind of place I liked. A bedroom, maybe two, a sitting room, kitchenette, and bath. But I want one that really has some charm to it and not one of those dingy places. Or those new ones with those terrible gaudy chandeliers.
See, I think I've got just the place for you.
Say, you do know how to handle a car.
I bet you'd drive like a whiz.
Well, of course, we had a car. I mean, before my husband passed on. And I used to make-believe drive it. But I don't think any woman ever learns to drive like a man.
Well, now, there's some pretty good women drivers.
Oh, of course, those women that try to imitate men and play golf and everything and ruin their complexions and spoil their hair.
Yeah, that's so. I never did like those mannish females.
Do you like music, Mr. Babbitt?
Oh, you bet I do. Why, I don't care much about this, all this classical stuff.
Oh, I do. I just love Chopin and all those.
Do you, honest?
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, I go to all those highbrow concerts, but I do like a good jazz orchestra.
So do I. Good dance music. I love to dance. Don't you, Mr. Vance?
I sure do. Not that I'm very darn good at it, though.
Oh, I'm sure you are. You ought to let me teach you. I can teach anybody how to dance.
Would you give me a lesson sometime?
Indeed, I would.
Now, you better be careful now. I'll be taking you up on that proposition. I'll be coming up to your flat and making me give you that that lesson, Mrs. Judique.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't be so formal. Couldn't you just call me Tannis?
Sure could. Miss McGoon, will you put a stamp on this letter and mail it to my wife?
Yes, sir. As I was saying, there's a Mrs. Judique on the phone, wants to see about some repairs, and all the salesmen are out. Want to talk to her?
Well, might as well. People always complain. Hello?
This is Mrs. Judique. Remember me? You found my nice flat for me.
Why, sure. You bet I do. What can I do for you?
It's just a little... I don't know that I ought to bother you, but the janitor doesn't seem to be able to fix it. You know, my flat's on the top floor, and with these autumn rains, the roof's beginning to leak. I'd be awfully glad if somebody...
Sure, I'll come up myself and take a look. When do you expect to be in?
Oh, I'm in every morning.
Be in this afternoon in an hour or so?
Yes. Perhaps I could give you a cup of tea. I think I ought to, after all your trouble.
Fine, I'll run up there as soon as I can get away.
See you then.
Yeah.
And now here's your cup of tea.
Ah, that looks good. Gosh, you certainly fixed this place up nice. Takes a clever woman to know how to make a home, all right.
You really like it? I'm glad. You know, you've neglected me terribly. You promised to come out sometime and learn how to dance.
Oh, but you didn't mean it seriously.
Well, maybe not, but you might have tried.
Well, I'm here now, but, well, if you don't mind, I'd just soon sit and relax for a while.
Ah, of course, you poor man. I know how rushed you must be all the time. You've got so many duties.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but it does seem that it's business, business, every minute. Even when I'm at the club for lunch.
Say, do you belong to the union club? I think that's a wonder.
No, the athletic. Of course, they're always asking me to join the union, but I always say, no, nothing doing. I don't mind the expense, but I can't stand all the old fogies.
Yes, that's so.
I'm probably boring you to death. You wouldn't hardly think that I was an old duffer. Sound like a kid.
Oh, you're a boy yet. I mean, you can't be a day over 45.
Well, not much. By golly, I begin to feel middle-aged sometimes. All these responsibilities and all...
I know. And I feel lonely some days. Tell me more about your worries. I want to hear about them.
Well, lots of things. You remember Paul Reisling?
Oh, yes. He shot his wife and was sent to jail.
Yeah. Well, Paul is my best friend. Somehow, life isn't the same without him.
Yeah. I know just what you mean.
Yeah, I think you do. You know, you're the first woman that's ever really understood what I was getting at, Dennis.
Why, thank you.
You know, I hate people that invite themselves to meals, but I seem to have a feeling that I'm going to have a supper with the lovely Mrs. Tennis Judique tonight. But I suppose you've probably got 7 dates already.
Well, I was thinking of going to the movies. Yes, I really think I ought to get out and get some fresh air.
Ah, Tennis, stop teasing me. You know, here we are, a couple of lonely birds, and we're awful happy together. Anyway, I am. Do let me stay. I'll gallop down to the delicatessen and buy some stuff, and we can have a nice little supper. And afterwards, if you want to chase me out, well, I'll be good and go like a lamb.
Well, yes. It would be nice. It's fun to sneak off and go to the movies in the morning, isn't it, George? It's like playing hooky when I was a kid.
By golly, you're right.
Aren't you glad we decided to come out in the country, George? I love to take long walks in winter, don't you?
As long as I can take them with you. You're the person I've dreamed of all my life, Tannis. Now I've found you. You know, I can hardly believe it.
Darling!
Hello, Tannis.
Yes, dear.
Well, I can't get away from the office until late today. I just want you to know.
Well, hurry, darling. I got a big surprise for you.
What?
Just wait and see. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the surprise. It was Carrie North's idea to begin with. She decided it was time for a party. So she phoned the bunch and told them to gather around. You know, I've been telling you I wanted you to meet the bunch.
Yeah, well, yeah. Gee, Tannis, but I'm awful tired tonight. I was hoping we could be alone.
Oh, Georgie, don't be a killjoy. You never let me meet any of your friends.
No, so, but Tannis.
Well, I understand, darling, but after all, I have a right to have a little fun now and then.
Well, I thought you did with me.
Of course, darling, I do.
Tannis!
Oh, here comes Carrie now. Carrie, this is Joyce.
Hello.
I'll leave you two for a minute. Hey, come on. Haven't we got a peppier number than that?
Welcome to our little midst, Mr. Babbitt. Tannis tells me you're a very prominent man.
Well, depends.
And quite a sport, too, she says. Oh, you'll fit in swell with a bunch. Come on, let's dance.
Okay.
George, darling, would you do me a favor?
Huh?
I'm all out of booze, and the bunch wants to sell it. Couldn't you just skip down to Healy Hansen's and get some?
But we were just going to dance.
Don't you want some booze? Carrie, I'll let you drive down with George.
Oh, swell, I love Healy Hansen's. Maybe we could have a short one while we're there. Huh, Georgie?
You will go, won't you, George?
Oh, sure, sure. If the bunch wants it, yeah. Well, that was some party.
Wasn't it, though? Place looks like a cyclone hit it.
Sure does. Take you 2 hours to empty the ashtrays.
Well, I have all day tomorrow. But I don't mind. They're such a swell bunch. Don't you think so?
Yeah, sure, I guess so.
Well, they liked you awfully. Of course.
What?
Oh. You did act sort of stuffy at times, darling.
Well, gosh, I was expecting just to be with you.
Well, I've got to have my friends, darling. They really are such swell kids. You wouldn't want them to think you were an old fogey, would you?
Who said I was an old fogey?
Nobody. They wouldn't dare, but I could tell they didn't think that you fit in completely.
Well, I guess they've got another think coming. I'll show them who's an old fogey. I can out-drink and out-dance and out-yell any of them. And I'll do it, too. Yes, sir.
That's the way I like to hear you talk, Georgie. Now you'll really begin to see what fun is.
Come on. Drink up, kids. If this runs out, we always know where we can get more.
Wasn't Andrew stewed? Say he was simply ossified. He knocked the waiter over.
It's not too late. It's just 2 a.m. Let's go someplace else before we check in.
Oh, I just love the way Georgie drives. It's so exciting. It takes my breath away.
Yes, Magoon?
What's the matter, Mr. Babbitt? You look sort of washed out. Are you sick or something?
No, no, I got a sort of a headache. I guess my glasses need changing. Well, what did you start to say?
Mr. Gutch is here to see you.
Oh, no.
Well, George, he doesn't expect me to be formally announced, do you, George?
Oh, no, no. You got to run the place, Virg. Come in, come in. Sit down. That's all, Miss McGoon.
Yes, sir.
Well, how's the boy?
Oh, fine. Great. Never better. How's yourself?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, what can I do for you?
Oh, well, some of us are getting up a scheme we'd kind of like to have you come in on.
Fine, Bird. Shoot.
You know, during the war, we had the undesirable element, but folks forget about the danger, and that gives these cranks a chance to begin working underground again. Well, some guy back east has organized a society called the Good Citizens League, and we want to form a chapter here in Zenith. Got some of the strongest men in town in already, and we want you, of course. How about it?
Well,
how about it now? You going to join us in the Good Citizens League?
Well, I'll have to think it over, Burge.
Well, why? What's to think over?
Oh, I don't know. It just seems like all my life I've been joining things because other people said I should without giving much thought to it.
All right, just as you say. George, I don't know what's come over you. None of us do.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, for a while we figured out you'd been upset by what happened to Paul Reisling, but that's old stuff now.
Just what are you getting at?
Well, frankly, the way you've been acting personally. Joe Pumphrey said that he saw you out the other night with a gang of them bohemian-type people, all stewed to the gills, and Chum saw you leaving the movie house with some woman. I saw you in the Thornley Hotel yesterday with a... Well, she may be all right and a perfect lady, but she certainly did look like a pretty gay skirt for a fellow with his wife out of town to be taken to lunch. What's come over you, George?
Strikes me a lot of fellows know more about my personal business than I do myself.
Now, don't go getting sore at me because I come out flat like a friend and say what I think instead of tattling behind your back the way a whole lot of them do. I tell you, George, you've got a position in the community, and the community expects you to live up to it. And, well, you better think over joining the Good Citizens League. See about it later. Long.
Long, Birch.
Excuse me, Mr. Babbitt. I didn't want to disturb you when you were talking. This telegram came for you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
No bad news, I hope, Mr. Babbitt.
Oh, no. My wife's is coming home.
Georgie, you haven't given me a list of your household expenses while I was away.
Oh, thunder. What's the use of taking all the trouble to make them out now? Let's just skip them for that period.
Why, George Babbitt, in all the years we've been married, we've never failed to keep a complete account of every penny we've spent.
Well, maybe that's the trouble with us.
What in the world do you mean?
Oh, I don't mean anything, only sometimes I get so darn tired of this fussing.
Don't you suppose I ever get tired of fussing? I get so bored with ordering three meals a day, 365 days a year, and looking after the laundry and darning socks and going to the Piggly Wiggly to market and everything.
Well, gosh, I suppose maybe you do, but... Well, I have to be at the office every single day while you can go out all afternoon and see folks and visit...
Yes, and a fine lot of good it does me, just talking over the same old things with the same old crowd. Well, you have all sorts of interesting people coming in to see you at the office.
Interesting? Cranky old clients or hard-to-please customers... Why, the way you talk, you'd think I was having lovey-dovey conferences with a lot of classy dames and giving them the glad eye.
I guess you manage to give them the glad eye enough when they do come in.
Now, look here. You've been doing a lot of insinuating and hinting around here lately, and as if I were leading a double life or something, and I'm darn sick of it. I don't want to hear any more about it.
Why, George Babbitt, in all our years together, you've never talked to me like that.
Well, it's about time.
Lately, you've been getting worse and worse. I just shudder.
Well, gosh, I didn't mean to get sore.
George, do you realize we can't go on like this? Getting farther and farther apart? I just don't know what's going to happen.
Mrs. Judique on the phone. She'd like to speak to you about some repairs.
Oh, thanks, McGowan. Hello?
Mr. Babbitt?
Yeah?
George, this is Tatis. I haven't seen you for weeks, or days anyhow. You aren't sick, are you?
Oh, no, just terribly rushed. I think there'll be a big revival of building this year, and I got to work hard.
Of course, my man, I want you to. You know I'm terribly ambitious for you, much more than I am for myself. I just don't want you to forget poor Tatis. I'm lonely. I need somebody to cheer me up.
Yeah.
Why didn't you come to the nice party we had at Carrie's last night?
Well, I had to go to the Littlefields for dinner with Myra.
Oh, yes, of course, dear. Are you going to be busy tonight?
Why,
Oh, please come around if you can. I'll be alone. Goodbye, darling.
Yeah. Goodbye.
I wasn't sure you'd be here.
I told you I would.
Oh, George, I wonder if you really do like me at all.
Of course I do, silly.
Do you really, precious? Do you care a bit? Say you love me.
Yeah, I love you. Of course I do.
Yes, you do. Darling, I don't mean to pester, but I get so lonely. I feel so useless. Nobody needs me. There's nothing I can do for anybody. And I'm so active. I could be if there was something to do. And I'm young, aren't I? I'm not an old thing. I'm not old and stupid, am I?
I suppose maybe I am kind of out of sorts tonight, but honest, Tannis, when I stayed away for a while to catch up on work and everything and figure out where I was at, you ought to have given me more time. Listen, dear, I'm going now.
Not for a while, precious, no.
Yeah, right now. And then sometime we'll see about the future.
What do you mean, dear, about the future? Have I done something I ought to? I'm dreadfully sorry.
No, no, not a thing. Only you're just as good as they make them, but it's just... good Lord, do you realize that I've got things to do in the world? I've got a business to attend to, and, well, you might not believe it, but I've got a wife and kids that I'm awfully, awfully fond of. I want us to be friends, but gosh, I can't go on this way, feeling I got to come up here every so often.
Why, darling, I've always told you so carefully that you are absolutely free. I just wanted you to come around when you were tired and wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, sure. You bet. Well, I'll call you soon.
Evening, Georgie.
Oh, hello, Howard. Been for a walk?
Yeah, such a nice night. You've been out, I say.
Uh-huh.
Wife and I called earlier and asked you folks over for bridge, but Myra said you'd gone to an Elks meeting.
Oh, Myra always gets things confused. Business. Had to see a client.
I didn't think the Elks were meeting tonight.
You should know. You're a member.
Say, Georgie, speaking of organizations, Verge Gunch tells me you turned down his invitation to join us in the Good Citizens League.
No, I didn't turn it down. I said I wanted more time to think it over.
The GCL's going to be an important faction in Zenith. If you don't belong, it could affect your business.
Listen, I sell real estate through my own efforts, not because of
your organizations you belong to, your own effort, too, you know.
Yeah, but you said you weren't anxious to have me now.
I said they wouldn't ask you again. Of course, if you apply...
No. You won't catch George F. Babbitt calling, begging to be admitted into some...
Well, I just told you for your own good, Georgie. I like you. We've been neighbors a long while. I hate to see you lose out after all this time. Good night, Georgie.
Good night. Myra. What's the trouble, Myra?
Oh, I've got such a pain down here on my side. Oh, just tears at me.
Bad indigestion. I'll get you some bicarb.
No, I don't think that would help. I felt funny last evening and yesterday, and then it passed away and I got to sleep.
I better call the doctor.
No. It'll go away. But you might get me a nice bag.
Sure, but I'll call the doctor, too. Well, you old thing, the doc thinks that maybe we better have a little operation and get it over.
Must I? Soon, George?
This morning. Just take a few minutes. Not half as serious as a confinement. You'll be all right in a jiffy. As soon as we get rid of that old appendicitis.
I'm afraid to go into the dark all alone. Will you stay with me, George? You don't have to go to the office now, do you? Could you just go down to the hospital with me?
Why, of course. I'll be with you all the time. Listen, old honey. I love you more than anything in the world.
Georgie.
I've been kind of worried about business and everything, but, well, that's all over now, and I'm back again.
Are you really, Georgie? I was thinking, 9 years, maybe it'd be better if I just went. I was wondering if anybody really needed me or wanted me. I was wondering what's the use of living? I've been getting so stupid and ugly.
Why, you old humbug, fishing for compliments when I ought to be packing your bag. Me, sure, I'm young and handsome and a regular cut-up. Oh, honey, don't you ever talk like that. If anything happened to you, I'd... Golly, Myra, I don't know what I'd do. Look who's here. The Gunches.
Hello, Myra. Why, you're looking wonderful.
Isn't she, though, just as fine as can be?
Oh, how nice of you to drop in.
Well, we had to see how George's little lady was getting on. And George, too. Why, since you've been in the hospital, we haven't seen him at all. Been spending all his time right up here with you, hasn't he?
He has indeed. George has been just grand. I feel like he was courting me all over.
Ah, come now. Verge to do the same thing. Besides... No place I'd rather be.
And what do you think he did? Georgie, you tell him, you know about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the first thing Myra said when she came out of the ether was, hard to get real maple syrup for pancakes. So I sent right off to Vermont for 10 gallons.
Why, when he told me, I laughed so hard the nurse was afraid I'd break my stitches.
Say, George, I bet the ladies would like to compare notes about their operations. What do you say we leave him alone and stroll down the sun parlor for a smoke?
Yeah, good idea, Bert. Yeah. Get back in a little, honey.
All right, Georgie.
Yes, sir, George. Myra's coming along fine.
Ah, yeah, she is, Bert. I'll take her home in a few days.
And she looks mighty happy, too. You know, one of the important things when we're sick is to know we have somebody who cares about us and we can depend on. And that's just what Myra's got in you, old Georgie. Yes, you can tell that by just looking at her.
Oh, well, I'd feel the same way toward her.
Oh, sure. Of course you do. I know that. You know, George, old scout, you were sore-headed about something here a while back. I don't know why. It's none of my business. But you seem to be feeling all hunky-dory again.
Oh, yeah. Sure do, Verge.
Well, why don't you come down and join us in the Good Citizens League, old man? We have some corking times together. We need your advice.
Ah, golly, Verge. Golly, thanks a lot. I'd like nothing better. I've been meaning to speak to you about it myself. I'll be down tomorrow.
Fine. That's fine. Why, you old horsey.
Now, look who's calling who a horsey. Why, you old hunk of cheese.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Mr. Walter Houston, starring in Fletcher Markle's production of Babbitt by Sinclair Lewis, another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Agnes Eckhart, and the original musical score was composed by Robert Stringer and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in tonight's cast. In the foreground...
George Babbitt.
...was played, of course, by Mr. Houston, currently stealing scenes in another medium in his son's motion picture production, Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Myra Babbitt.
...was played by Hester Sondergaard.
Tanis Jodi.
...was Mercedes McCambridge.
Zilla Reisling.
...was Grace Coppin.
Virgil Gunch.
...was Everett Sloan.
Howard Littlefield.
...was Robert Dryden.
Paul Reisling.
...was played by Frank Behrens. Ian McAllister played Chum Frink. Miriam Wolfe was Miss Magoon. John Griggs was Charles McKelvey. And the voices of Hedley Rennie, Beverly Roberts, Barbara Townsend, and Louis Quinn were heard in active assistance. Next week from Studio One, a A dramatic study of emotional conflicts concerning a young man who came home to find peace and instead found himself involved in the greatest struggle of his life. Our story is Mitchell Wilson's new novel, The Kimbles, and our star is one of the most deftly talented performers of Hollywood and Broadway, Mr. Franco Tone. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Franco Tone, starring in The Kimbles. This is Fletcher Markle with a good night, and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week. The Columbia Broadcasting System.